All right, and good morning, everybody, and welcome. Thank you so much for getting up and tuning in to 1480 WSAR this morning. This is Dr. Ross Rutkowski, and you are listening to Total Life Conditioning live, of course. And great to be with you on this nice Saturday morning. And we got a great topic, something actually a little different today that we'll do after many years here. And got some awesome information to share with you and something very applicable to absolutely every single one of you. I can promise you that. And in addition to that, we also have a special guest here live in studio this morning as well to talk about this and to share some really amazing stuff. And we'll start with that. Let's introduce our guest. And this morning, my guest is Dr. Chris Quigley. Say good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Russ.
All right. And Dr. Chris is a chiropractor. He's just an expert chiropractor. He's been practicing in Boston for how many years now?
26
years. He's an amazing chiropractor and a great friend. We've been friends for over 20 years. And he's just really excelled in an area in practice of working with special spinal injuries and a lot of them that's related to auto accidents. And we're going to talk about that today. He's recently published a book. When was this book released?
About 2-3 months ago.
So we got a brand new thing out there on the market, and we're going to discuss this book today. It's a very applicable book as well. It's called After the Crash, and it's a comprehensive guide for not only people who are in accidents, but also to help your attorney as well, which that's very important. And sometimes they do need some help making sure they're defending your rights and protecting your health at the same time, which is really important. So Dr. Chris, he's graduated in 1990, right?
Correct.
From New York Chiropractic College. And like I said, he's been in practice for 26 years in Boston. But he's had extensive training and credentials in spinal trauma. He's done medical legal documentation, insurance documentation, MRI interpretation, accident reconstruction, brain injury, and spinal cord biomechanics. He was also lectured at the Boston Bar Association. He's trained attorneys on the injuries sustained in motor vehicle accidents for many years. And so we've got an expert in the house today. And like I said, this is a practical thing. So we're going to talk about all the different aspects of, you know, auto accidents. What do you do when you get an accident? And most importantly, you know, how do you take care of yourself? How do you find the right care? And how do you make sure that you're taken care of? And so we have a lot to talk about today. And so why don't we'll jump right in. So where would you like to start, Dr. Chris?
Well, let's start where it begins. What do you do if you get in a car accident?
All right.
You got to start, do things right from the beginning. It makes things a lot easier along the way. Many times people can screw up their whole case right at the get-go. So let's start with that.
Okay.
Number one is, you know, as soon as you get in an accident, your first rule is safety first. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to make sure that everybody in the accident is okay. If there's any life-threatening injuries, you want to call 911 right away. Mm-hmm. But once you've established that, now you got to start, you know, getting things documented. Mm-hmm. You know, basically, if you document your case from the beginning, it makes things a heck of a lot easier. All right.
Yes.
So I always recommend people take pictures. Everybody has.
All right, on their smartphones and
camera on their phone.
Yeah.
Just take pictures of everything. I mean, take pictures of your car, of the other car. Take pictures of the documentation, the driver's license, registration. Make sure you get all that information. Very important to call 911, even if the police do not come. Sometimes there's a minor accident, the police won't come. You want to call 911 to document the accident that it happened. Again, safety. You know, obviously, anybody needs immediate attention. You want to make sure you call the proper people and get the help you need.
Okay. So if there's an obvious injury right away, again, you'll be calling 911. You might be taken to the hospital by an ambulance. But if it's not, if it doesn't appear to be that severe, where you know they probably will offer to you to go to the hospital, and you say no, I don't think I'm that injured, and you decide to go home, you know, because you think you're okay. But then what? Then what happens? Maybe the next day you're not feeling so great.
Exactly. You know, that's the thing. You know, many times, the research says somewhere around 20% of people in car accidents feel nothing immediately, and you can have some severe injuries and feel nothing. There's a lot of adrenaline that happens.
Yes.
One of my favorite books is by attorney B.J. Kelly, and he talks about an example when he got in a car accident. You know, he was such adrenaline rush. He was like, you know, frantic, you know, make sure everybody's okay and stuff like that. And the next day he woke up, he had a broken rib.
Oh wow. Yeah.
You know, because you get this whole, the adrenaline's going, you got this energy, and you don't feel things.
That's right. So very, very important point, because you don't want to just like sign off on the accident on the scene, say, oh, I'm okay, everything's fine. You know, not necessarily, right? And then, so say it is the next day, either the day after, and you wake up and you're really sore, you're tight, you're stiff, or you're just having these pain or issues that you weren't having, then what's the next step?
Well, you need to go see a healthcare provider, you know. Obviously, you know, as a chiropractor, you know, the chiropractors are well-trained in these kind of accidents, mm-hmm. Especially, you know, some of myself where we're really, this is what we specialize in.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, you know, go see your PCP. I mean, again, your goal is to make sure you've communicated to your healthcare professional that you're injured.
That's right. Right. And also good for people to know too, right? People can go directly to a chiropractor's office, right? They don't have to go to the hospital. They don't have
Correct.
To go to the medical doctor to get a referral
Correct.
That they can come primarily to us if they choose.
You know, one of the things that we find is that someone's got to, you know, coordinate your care. You know, there are some things that the chiropractor is great in, there's some things that they're not. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you have a broken rib, you need to go see the people who can handle that.
That's right.
So it has to be a team effort in many cases. It's always good to have, you know, several healthcare professionals in on your case, especially if the injury is more than, you know, a minor injury. You
mm-hmm.
need to have those different professionals working on different areas of the of your body.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. So, what would be next in line then? So we're feeling sore. We're having headaches. We're having some symptoms or issues that are popping up. You know, a day or two after the accident, we go see most people I would assume might go to their family doctor first. They get that documented. But then, again, what's their medical doctor more than likely going to recommend for them?
Medication.
That's right.
You know, and the fact is, the research says that medication actually interferes with the healing process.
That's right.
So I've always been emphatic with patients, if you absolutely need that stuff to sleep, take it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't need it to sleep, you should be resting. You shouldn't be doing a lot of stuff. You shouldn't need to take the medication to go do something. You know, that's sort of one of my mentors always used to say, you know, if you had a bruise, would you like take Advil so you can hit a bruise with a hammer?
Right.
You know, you're injured. You
right.
need to take it easy. You need to let your body recover.
That's right.
And a lot of people try to push, and it's like that's definitely a recipe for big problems.
Definitely. Most definitely. So the scenario would be then most people end up at their family doctor. They document they had an accident. Maybe the doctor might send them for x-rays or do some further tests. But bottom line is they're probably going to end up with some medication, right? And just say, yeah, here, this will help you feel better.
You want to avoid that. You
yeah.
Really
and unfortunately, I think a lot of people, they probably leave it at that, right?
Right.
They just start popping pills and they go back to work or they do whatever. And they're just masking all the pain from the injuries that are coming, but they're not dealing necessarily with the injury.
Right.
So that would be a great time. Call a chiropractor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, again, you can see the chiropractor first.
Right.
But you got to get someone who's familiar with these injuries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the family doctor is not very well trained in trauma injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, take two and call me in the morning kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
And the fact is you need more help than that. These injuries, you know, the research is emphatic. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 40% and higher of people who get in car accident injuries becomes chronic. It becomes, they never heal.
Right.
You know, that's one thing I communicate to my attorney clients all the time. It's like, these injuries do not heal right. You know, when scar tissue, when it heals, only gets to about two-thirds of the strength of the original healthy tissue.
Hmm.
I mean, that's an amazing statistic when you really think about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody's had, you know, their aunt or uncle or maybe parents or even themselves, they say things like, you know, I can tell when the weather's going to change.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear that every day.
Because my knee hurts, my back yeah. hurts or something like that. And that is the scar tissue that forms when you get an injury.
Hmm.
Now, one of the things I think we should touch on is some of the things you can do to protect yourself in case you get in an accident as far as your car goes.
Most definitely.
I think that cars in some way can protect you, in some ways they hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that is very important, that one of the few things in your car that actually prevents injuries is your headrest. And this is an area where everybody has it messed up for the most part.
Yes.
You know, in my book, After the Car Crash, there is a great picture on page 34 where it shows how your headrest should be adjusted. And basically, the headrest should be at the top, up to the top of your head, but there can only be a quarter inch between your head and the headrest.
Right. I think that's the biggest factor right there.
Right, a quarter inch.
People put their seats so far back, and they're like, what are you doing?
Right, they have like 6 10-inches.
Exactly.
My office is in downtown Boston. You can sit on the corner and just watch people going by, and they're all hunched over their steering wheel. If there's like a foot between their head and their headrest.
Yeah.
And the headrest is one thing that actually prevents injuries.
Right. So explain that, the physics of that, right? So when there's a big space between their head and the headrest, and then they say get rear-ended.
Right. Then the headrest does nothing.
Right. And that acceleration is multiplied times that space. So if your head was against the headrest and you got rear-ended, right, and your head only goes back a half an inch, but if your head's going back 10 inches.
10 inches or more sometimes.
That's making a real big injury.
Well, what happens is, especially if the headrest is too low, it can actually make injuries worse.
That's right.
Because the first thing that happens when you get rear-ended is your body goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the car is going forward and you're not. And the car seat sort of scoots underneath you, and your body actually goes up, and then your head whips back.
Right.
Well, if you have your headrest is too low, it actually acts as a fulcrum and makes the injuries worse.
Right. Think of that. Right. It's a bending point. Your neck bends right around your headrest instead of your head stopping on the headrest and can make it worse. So what a simple thing. Just making sure your headrests are high enough, and the center of gravity should be your center of gravity. Your head should be in the center of the headrest, or in most cases, right, the headrest is up. Right. Be the same level as top of your head.
At least top of your head.
You know, at least top of the head.
Minimum.
Right. Now, yeah. So.
Consistently, the cars that get the highest ratings by the safety people are the ones that have fixed headrests, you know, where it's fixed and you can't adjust them.
Ah.
So most people, when they adjust them wrong.
Correct. So they take them out of the equation, right?
Right.
All right. Very good. That's probably the awesome tip. Everyone can take when you sit in your car today, check it out, right? Make sure your seat back is more upright and make sure that headrest is less than an inch. Should be, quarter and a half an inch?
Yeah, quarter inch.
But a quarter inch from the back of your head. So pretty much right behind you. That's just a great tip and something that could really really help you in the case of being in an accident. So don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. You're listening to Dr. Ross Rutkowski with Dr. Chris Quigley today, and you're listening to 1480 WSAR. And we're talking about some really important factors regarding being in an auto accident. Just before the break, we talked about starting to talk about some of the things, kind of like prevention, things we can do to be safer. And that's just a no-brainer, right? Prevention is the key to everything. And if you can prevent having serious injury, that's way better than trying to recover from it. And one thing we mentioned about having the proper headrest alignment. But there's also there's other important factors too, right, that we need to put into play.
Absolutely. We have seatbelts and airbags are a big one. Seatbelts change your injuries. They don't prevent injuries. If they were serious about preventing injuries, you'd have those harnesses that they have in NASCAR.
Like the race cars, yeah.
Race cars. They get the five-point, your infant seats have five or six-point, a 3.1 actually exacerbates some injuries because you're not supported in there well. You get hit. There's a lot of twisting and turning. You can get seatbelt injuries from the seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most underreported injuries in car accidents is fractures to the chest. People get chest pain afterwards. You get bruising in there, in the chest area from the seatbelt. So seatbelts, there's a mixed bag with that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that they do is they keep you in the car.
Right.
You know, in the old days, if you didn't have a seatbelt, you got ejected from the car, and that could be obviously a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
but see, it does keep you in the car. The second thing we need to talk about are airbags.
Yes.
Airbags are very important. They come out with a tremendous amount of force, though. So if you are too short, and you're too close to the steering wheel, it can injure you. You can get injured from the airbag.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There are reports of over 200 people being killed by airbags.
Wow.
Especially before they're getting a little better now. They're not coming out as hard and as fast.
Mm-hmm.
But still, hundreds of people have died from airbags.
Wow.
Typically, it's someone either short or a kid bending over to like play with someone adjusting the radio or something like that, playing with the controls, and then the airbag goes off and literally can take your head right off.
So, wow. So what's the proper distance then? When someone's setting their seat, how close they are to the steering wheel? Some cars even have pedals that adjust, and so you can make some adjustments. How far away should we be away from the steering wheel?
To be safe, I'd say at least 12 inches.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
All right. So we got two real important things, right? Adjusting the seat, being, say, approximately 10, 12 inches away from the steering wheel, having your headrest should be right behind the back of your head. So those are two excellent things that we can do. So you always want to be prepared. When someone else isn't paying attention, they rear-end you, then that's a big deal. Which is also an interesting thing I read in your book, too, as well, is that talked about the difference of injuries when someone's expecting the accident versus they're not expecting the accident. So if someone sees someone coming and they're bracing, say, for example, they see someone in the rearview mirror, they stopped at a light, and they know that person is just not going to stop in time. That made a big difference in their injuries.
Right. So the number one factor in a car accident is awareness. Mm-hmm. If you are surprised in a car accident, the injuries are much, much more severe than if you're able to prepare yourself. Mm-hmm. Consumer Reports reports that the proper position for if you see you're going to be in a car accident is you hold onto the steering wheel, force your head hard back into the headrest.
Yeah. Take out that space, yeah.
Take out that space and really you want to tense the muscles. There's this old wives' tale, you know, about how, drunks never get hurt in a car accident because they're all loosey-goosey and relaxed. Right. You know, well, the research doesn't say that.
That's not true, right.
The research says if you're aware, you can protect yourself. One of my favorite research articles talked about they did three groups of volunteers. This is in the journal Spine, April 2003. By Sigmund, said that they did three groups. One group were aware of the impact by countdown, people who knew they were going to get hit but not exactly when, and those who were deceived about the coming impact. And the head accelerations in the unaware group were 100%, 180% greater in male subjects. Head retractions are 25% greater in female subjects. Neck muscle activation occurred 7 milliseconds later in surprised subjects than aware subjects. This crucial time can produce additional injury, including larger tissue strains, ligament sprains and tears, and disc injuries.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's really important as well. And the other, how about the other thing? Another big myth too is that, you know, if there really wasn't much damage to my car, so I guess I couldn't have been injured then. You know, only the bumper got scraped.
Right.
But it's also not true either.
Right. Is it? Right. Because what happens is, the bumpers are not designed to protect people.
Mm-hmm.
Bumpers are designed, according to the federal guidelines, bumpers are designed to protect the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a NASCAR driver gets in a car accident, you watch those, you know, the car drives into into another car or the side, the side of the racetrack there.
Yeah.
And the car explodes. You see the wheels flying here and hood flying here and everything. So the car, they sacrifice the car to protect the driver, because that explosion of the car, the parts flying everywhere and things crushing and absorbs the energy.
That's right.
And what it does is slows down your rate of slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I said
that,
right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I know. It sounds funny, but it's correct.
It slows down your rate of slowing down.
Right.
Because if you slow down really fast,
right,
that's when you get hurt.
Right.
So a great example of that, if you take your Dr. Ross likes fancy cars. If you know, if he has takes his Porsche and he drives, you know, 100 miles an hour into a brick wall, a lot of injuries there, right?
You slow down very fast.
Right.
Yeah.
You're slowing down very fast. And now, but if Dr. Ross, you know, you drive into a big fluffy snow pile or a big pile of feathers and you slow down really slow, then your injury is going to be much less.
That's right.
In my book, I talk about skiing.
Skiing, exactly.
Right? So if you're skiing down the mountain, you see into this big fluffy pile of snow, you fall, you go, you know, you're out in Park City or whatever, you don't get hurt. I guess you slow down at a slow rate. But if you do that same run and then you ski into a pine tree, your slowing down rate is very quick.
That's right.
And now you're going to get hurt.
That's right. So, yeah. So that's really important, too, because I think a lot of people will think that, like, they're being a baby. Like, oh, geez, my car was just barely scratched, yet my neck hurts. So, you know, I probably couldn't have been injured because my car wasn't even damaged. But that's not true at all.
Not true at all. Great research study came out of, let me see what journal is this in here. This was done in Japan. All right, here we go. In the Archives of Orthopedic Trauma and Surgery by Dr. Hijoka. And what they did is they graded car damage and average duration of treatment. So there's grade 0, no damage, grade 1, slight damage, grade 2, bumper damage, grade 3, one-third of car or trunk damage, grade 4, half of car damage, grade 5, total destruction of car. And they found that the grade 0 people needed the same amount of treatment as people who had half the car damaged. So people had slight damage, bumper damage, one-third of car damage, needed 30% less treatment than the people who had the no-damage cars. And the reason for that is the car absorbed the impact.
Right.
The car dissipated the energy. This is very, very important. It's important on a number of levels. It's important on the fact of your health level, but then it's also important because now the insurance company sees that, and they say the complete opposite thing. The insurance company says, oh, you couldn't have been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The car didn't break.
Mm-hmm.
No car damage. But what happens is it creates the bumpers create an elastic rebound effect. Bumpers are the federal standards for bumpers. They're supposed to break and absorb the impact of the crash at 5 miles an hour. Well, they've done studies. A guy named Dr. Art Croft actually did the study, actually took a bunch of cars and whacked them. Mm. And they found many of the car bumpers didn't break till 10 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
And what the bumper does is create an elastic rebound. All right, so like a basketball, you bounce the basketball, yeah. It rebounds back up. Well, the bumper rebounds, and it actually multiplies the force.
Hmm.
So if your bumper breaks, the force it doesn't multiply, and it protects you. All right, but if the bumper does not break, it rebounds, and it actually multiplies the G-force, or the energy in the accident, by 5 times if your bumper doesn't break.
Wow.
So you get 7 Gs if the car breaks. You get 35 Gs if the bumper doesn't break.
That's huge. That's right. A huge, huge difference, yeah. And that's really important, too. And then I think, which we'll talk about in just a minute after the break here at the bottom of the hour, is that you know, you want to know stuff like that. So, you know, you call up your insurance agent and say, oh, yeah, you know, I got bumped. Because, again, maybe your bumper, you know, was just scratched. You just really just basically just need to be repainted. So you're calling them to tell them that. But at the same time, you're saying, geez, you know, I'm getting these headaches and having these problems. And they're saying, well, geez, your bumper's only scratched. So you couldn't have been injured. And they want to dismiss you. You need to know these facts, and you need to know how to, you know, to be able to pursue that and, you know, right. Have yourself taken care of.
Listen to this quote from that article. Zero damage to the vehicle patients require more treatment because the force is direct to the spine, not to the vehicle. Right? When the car absorbs the crash energy and gets squashed, it decreases the rate of slowing down in a car accident.
Uh-huh.
Key stuff. Another great article by in the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, October 2007, from Schafferman, Bogduk, and Slosser, said that severity of property damage is not a reliable predictor of injury or outcome in low-speed collisions. Crash characteristics and human factors are much more relevant. One of the other important human factors is how healthy is your spine when you get in that accident?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a healthy, flexible, highly functioning spine, you can absorb a lot more impact than someone who's a stiff, arthritic, older, injured spine.
That's right.
You know, a great analogy is, you know, one of the classes I took, the instructor put up a picture of a bodybuilder and cut out his face and put it in there. And he's, you know, he's a short, you know, 5'5" on a good day, chubby guy. And he puts up this big picture, big hulky bodybuilder, puts his picture in it. Mm-hmm. And then he has a picture of Grandpa, who's, you know, bent over with a cane.
Yeah.
And says, who's going to get injured more?
That's right.
Grandpa, obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So all factors and all important. And, you know, that's why we're talking about these things today. When we come back, I want to talk about exactly how do you deal with your insurance company, things that are important to you to make sure that, you know, you get the care that you need and that you're taken care of. And we'll be right back. Again, you are listening to 1480 WSAR. Good morning again, everybody, and welcome back. This is Dr. Ross Rutkowski with special guest Dr. Chris Quigley here today. Great to be with you on this Saturday morning. We're talking about some really important information regarding, you know, your health and your well-being, particularly regarding auto accidents. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just one of those things, right? This comes along with the territory of driving. And it's good to be prepared for those things and do the things ahead of time that you can to protect yourself to the best of your ability. And then more importantly, and when something happens as well, is, you know, what do you do and how do you take care of yourself and how do you get the proper care so you're able to recover from that injury as well. And so we've talked about some of those things already of how we can protect ourselves, how we set up our car, things that we should do in the event of an accident. And then now, how about let's talk about some things that are helpful as well, is that once we've found a good doctor, we're getting some good care, and we want to make sure that we're taken care of and that you know, we're doing the proper things with our insurance companies, communicating to that and getting all that all taken care of.
You know, one of the things that's very important to discuss here is up to 40% of whiplash injured patients develop chronic problems.
Mm. Wow.
That's a huge number.
It is.
Your insurance company does not want you to know that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Absolutely.
You know, the research is emphatic that you know, a large percentage of people, some research articles say as many as 50% of people have chronic pain after a car accident.
Wow. And so people know when you say chronic, you're talking about symptoms and injuries and problems that continue more than 6 months, a year or more, right? That, that they'll have these things for a long time.
Right. I mean, yeah. You've been in practice for how many years have you been in practice now?
23.
I mean, you see these x-rays and you're like, these people were in car accidents.
Right.
You know, and 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you can almost look at those x-rays and say, you can almost age date that accident.
Yeah.
Without even talking to the patient.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable how naive most of the healthcare industry is about that.
Mm.
It's remarkable. So the research, you know, I got a couple articles here. Berglund, all right, said that 30 to 35% of people chronic pain after whiplash injuries. I have a chart that I when I teach attorneys this stuff, I have 8 research articles saying that over 30 to 35% or higher of people have chronic pain after a car accident.
Hmm.
One thing we should talk about also is what part of your spine gets injured.
Yes, most definitely.
Very important thing. Mm-hmm. Then we'll get into the insurance stuff.
Okay.
When you get in a car accident, the joints in the neck are the number one cause of chronic pain. The joints become they get injured, and they heal with that scar tissue, and they become very sensitive. And the research says the joints are the major problem in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
In the lower back, typically it's the spinal disc, which causes more pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and you know, obviously the disc can be injured in the neck as well. So spinal joints, number one, disc and disc number two in the neck. In the lower back, it reverses. It's the disc first, then
first, then the joints. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I think people should think about that as well. So if you understand that, you know, the articulating joints where your neck moves are the first things that are injured, right? And then in the disc in your lower back, then, you know, think about the care that you're getting.
Right.
And, you know, how sitting at home, taking a week off from work on muscle relaxers and painkillers, how are they helping those joints? And that's what's important, to, you know, seek appropriate care when necessary.
The bottom line is, to get these injuries to heal, you got to move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why the research we'll go over in a few minutes, is, you know, chiropractic gets your spine moving. Chiropractic is by far blows away everything in the research to heal from these injuries.
That's right.
So one thing I want to talk about also is that many times x-rays and MRIs do not show these injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge, huge important factor. There's been plenty of people who've gotten injuries and there's nothing showing up on the x-rays, the MRI, and they still have pain.
Right. So again, the insurance company wants to say, well, you know, the MRI was negative, so you must be okay. It's in your head.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Now, one of the things that's very important to get done is what we call stress x-rays. So a stress x-ray is where you move the body in a certain direction, take the x-ray, and then, you know, typically with the neck, it's flexion and extension. So you flex the neck all the way forward, take the x-ray, extend the head back, and then take the x-ray. Then what you do is analyze how well the spine moves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the spine moves in a certain fashion, that shows up the ligament injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Because ligaments do not show up in MRI, they do not show up on x-rays if you have a ligament injury. So that's the way you have to document that injury. You know, that is the number one way to do it. Now, how important is that injury? I'll give you a little background. So when you move the head back and forth, the bone should not slide more than 3.5 millimeters in the neck. So if the spine moves, the spinal bones move more than 3.5 millimeters, you have what's called ligament laxity.
Mm-hmm.
Ligament laxity leads to arthritis. Not some of the time, all of the time. So every time you have this ligament laxity in the spine, it becomes unstable. And osteoarthritis follows. So you get the injury, the 20-year-old young lady gets in a car accident. Women get injured way more than guys mm-hmm. in car accidents because they have less muscle mass. And the ladies get these injuries, up to about 70% of women in auto accident injuries get these ligament injuries. And they're not being documented.
Hmm.
You have to document, you have to take those x-rays. And it's a very simple test to get the analysis. But the people in the know that these injuries are serious. Now, when you get in a car accident, say you get in a car accident and your right arm gets cut off in the car accident. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But for example, that is what's called a 25% whole body impairment. So you lost an arm, you lost 25% of your ability to do things.
Mm-hmm.
When you get one of these ligament injuries into the spine, it's considered a 25% whole body impairment.
Hmm.
So do you get how important it is? That the authorities realize how important it is when your spine gets injured. They know it. But the rank and file doctor out there does not know it.
All right.
They don't even know to do the test. I look at files for an attorney, and I'll say, well, you need that test. You need to look at this test. Perfect example. I was in an attorney's office on Wednesday, and a lady had been in a couple of car accidents. This is like her fourth car accident this particular attorney. And she goes, the lady's a wreck. I'm like, well, you need that test. Let's get the x-rays out. Let's send it in and get it analyzed. You need that test. So if the bones slide more than 3.5 millimeters, or if they rotate one on top of each other more than 11 degrees, you have that ligament laxity.
Excellent. So another great thing to know. Maybe you can help your doctor along with that if necessary.
Absolutely.
But very, very important.
All right. So let's talk about those lovely people at your insurance company.
Yes.
Because they are, you know, they are, you know, one of my pet peeves in life is when people in power abuse that power.
Mm.
You know, that everybody read about that Duke case, that Duke lacrosse case. Man, just boils my, you know, boils my blood, you know, when people, the guy was the district attorney, and he, you know, created this very, for lack of a better term, just a real poorly done, he just abused his office to get elected, and that just pisses me off.
Yeah.
The insurance companies do the same thing. Now, what happened with the insurance industry is that they became money driven.
Mm-hmm.
So the best example of that is in this book From Good Hands to Boxing Glove. It talks about the dark side of insurance by David J. Bertinelli, and talked about the conversion of Allstate, and it's, you know, they got their good hands slogans,
right,
and how they turned themselves into a predatory insurance company. So what they did is that Allstate, for those of you who are a little older, know that Allstate came out of the Sears Roebuck franchise. Right? Allstate offices were inside Sears stores. And they were spun off. Well, when they got spun off, the executives hired McKinsey and Company to come in and redesign their claims processes. And in the old days, it was about 80 cents in a dollar went towards paying out claims, 13 cents in a dollar went to overhead, and 7 cents in a dollar were profit.
Hmm.
Now, what they've done is they changed it to 60 cents in a dollar goes out in claims, that same 13 cents in overhead, and the rest is profit.
Mm-hmm.
So do the math.
Yeah.
All right. So now they got almost 30% profit margins compared to 7% profit margins. So Allstate went from, in the 50-something years of being in business, before they did this process, they had $5 billion in float. So float is basically the amount of insurance in effect where they're going to have to pay it out eventually. That's the money they're sort of borrowing to pay out on claims. And if like they make a lot of money off float. Warren Buffett has created his whole career off of float.
Mm.
And in 10 years of doing this claims process, they increased their float up to $16 billion.
Wow.
So in their first 54 years of being in business, they had, you know, $5 billion in capital. And they created another $11 billion in capital over the next 10 years.
Wow.
So the way they did this is they took your premiums, instead of saving them to pay claims, they took them as profit. And you should see the stuff that they do. It is horrific. One of the things we see on a regular basis are these things called a insurance medical exam.
Hmm.
I don't know what they do with it. They teach classes on how to be an insurance whore. I don't know how it is, but these doctors do these exams, and everybody's better.
Right.
Everybody miraculously is better. Everybody. They do this exam that takes about 4 minutes.
Right.
And they determine that, you know, no matter what kind of injuries you have, you're better.
Right.
It's amazing. So
So somebody may experience that. So these independent exams is when an insurance company kind of steps in, and when the doctor's like, say you're under my care, and after maybe 3 months of the care, the insurance company's like, wow, we're paying out some money, so we're gonna double check you. You know, we're gonna send you to one of our doctors to make sure you're, you know, see what's going on. And of course, this doctor always goes, oh, they're doing great. Like basically, right? you can stop the case now because we don't want to pay anymore. And you know what I mean? It's no. It's not very independent, but
They call them independent medical exams, but really we call them insurance medical exams. Yeah. So let's be real.
Yeah, they're being paid by that insurance company to do that exam, and so it's in their benefit, right? To
There's big bucks in this. I mean, these doctors are making, you know, I've heard as high as $1,000 for this 5-minute exam.
No kidding.
Wow. So it's big money. So they do not want to upset their bosses.
That's right.
By coming up and saying, oh, this person's injured. They need more care.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
A conflict of interest there.
Well, good to know. Yeah. So, you know, it's always, again, important to know these things, right? So you know how things work. And the bottom line is that you want to get the care that you need. You want to get taken care of, especially if a lot of these things end up being chronic, right? You want to take care of these things so you don't have all this suffering that will happen in the future. So we're going to pause here for our very last break. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. You are listening to 1480 WSAR. All righty, and good morning again, everybody, and welcome back. Thank you so much for staying tuned in this morning. This is Dr. Ross Rutkowski here today live with my special guest, Dr. Chris Quigley. And so glad you've been tuning in, and I got still some more important stuff to go, so don't go anywhere. And before we move on, anything else we should mention regarding our last topic of dealing with our insurance companies, things we know regarding our insurance?
You know, the state of Massachusetts keeps track of complaints against insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done is created what I call the Quigley Ratio.
Yeah.
It's an easy name to figure out. And what I did is I graphed the number of complaints versus market share. And in 2013, the winners of the Quigley Ratio were... Norfolk and Dedham Insurance had a 0.35 Quigley ratio, which means that they had the least number of complaints in mm-hmm. the state.
Yeah.
Liberty Mutual was next with a 0.43, and then Quincy Mutual with a 0.45 Quigley ratio. The losers, interestingly enough, are the big ones,
mm-hmm.
the ones that advertise the most.
Yeah. All right?
So USAA, car insurance company, had 2 times the number of complaints versus their market share.
Huh.
All right. Geico, 1.97. Allstate, 1.9. So that means they had twice as many complaints per their market share. So this is it's a great little tool to use in the book to say who you should buy your insurance from.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. You know, something else I think maybe we should mention if people aren't aware, especially regarding the law and the rules in Massachusetts, right? So every auto policy in Massachusetts, right, is required to have no fault.
Correct.
And that is $2,000, correct? Is that still correct? A minimum?
No. It's actually Massachusetts has pretty good. Let me look it up here. I believe it's your coverage has to be. Let me look it up. All right, Massachusetts. Okay, in Massachusetts, the basic minimums for Massachusetts for bodily injury to others is $20,000 per person, $40,000 per accident. Personal injury protection is $8,000 per accident. Bodily injury caused by uninsured auto. $20,000 per person, $40,000 per accident, and damage to someone else's property, $5,000 per accident.
So, yeah. So personal injury was $8,000?
Personal injury protection, correct.
Is $8,000.
That's the minimum, right?
Is minimum. So what that means that when you're not at fault, right, when you're just sitting there waiting for their light to turn green and someone comes and rear-ends you, right, their policy, a Massachusetts driver, their policy will include $8,000 of potential coverage for you.
Right. Now, and I always recommend, the state of Massachusetts says it as well, you need to buy more.
Mm-hmm.
In Massachusetts, we have teaching hospitals, some of the most expensive hospitals in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You get in a car accident here, you end up in the hospital for 2 nights, you spend way more than that, more than $8,000.
Right.
So you need to make sure that you have higher coverages. So one thing, that's number one. Number two is you should always buy something called MedPay. MedPay is a very, very inexpensive coverage. I think it's like in Massachusetts for like $10,000 MedPay is like $35 a year.
Huh.
I mean, it's ridiculously cheap.
Yep.
And MedPay is an optional pool of money you can have, pot of money, to recover from your accident injuries.
Oh, excellent. Yeah.
So everyone should have that. If you do not have that, call your insurance company right now and order it. I mean, it's literally like $75 a year for $20,000 worth of coverage. Now, what happens is this is going to help you if you get in a case where you need to, you know, if there's any settlements and stuff like that, it will help you a tremendous amount, and it gives you a lot more flexibility in getting your injuries taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So today, tell your listeners, go out, get some more MedPay.
Right.
Even if you don't have it, go buy it. I think I literally think it's like $25 for like $10,000 of coverage.
Yeah,
so extremely cheap.
Excellent, excellent. So good things. Again, more just great tips that you need to know to help protect yourself and take care of yourself. So last, we got about maybe 4 to 5 minutes here left, believe it or not. And so let's talk about what's real important and the significance of chiropractic care in this in the big picture.
Well, as we mentioned, you know, to get these injuries to move, you got to get these injuries to heal, you got to move, right? Chiropractic is what moves the spine. I don't want to use my terms. I'm going to use, again, I have this attorney, William Kelly, in his book, Soft Tissue Injuries and Hard Bill Tactics. He says about chiropractic, chiropractors do not and cannot prescribe narcotic pain medication. Therefore, they are dealing with the patient's injuries and trying to fix it rather than using the medication that they simply mask the problem. They say chiropractors have more flexible hours than doctors and physical therapists. You do not need a referral or prescription to see a chiropractor. Just call and make an appointment. Chiropractic treatment is often less expensive than formal physical therapy. You will find that many chiropractors and their staff have a genuine interest in helping you and making sure that you're satisfied with their services. Chiropractors are specialists in soft tissue injury treatment, and they often attend advanced seminars where the latest knowledge in auto accident injury treatments are discussed. All right. Many chiropractors have gained extensive experience over time diagnosing and assisting patients who have been involved in automobile wrecks. So, I mean, myself and you, Dr. Ross, I mean, you've been doing this for a long, long time, and you are become the an expert in this. So basically with these injuries, right away, you want to use ice.
Yes.
Right? First 48 hours of an injury, 10 to 15 minutes per hour max. Mm-hmm. The smaller the area, the shorter the time. And you want to get ice on these injuries. You want to move the injured areas guided by pain. You want to get some exercise, resistant exercises, and get to your local chiropractor who will coordinate your care.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is not coming from a chiropractor. It's coming from an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who specializes in these cases.
Excellent.
I think that's one something we should talk about. You know, a lot of people wonder if they should get an attorney.
Right, absolutely. That's real important.
Let's put it this way. I deal with these insurance companies all day. I would never entertain for a minute of handling my own case with an insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
They have literally hundreds of experts, legal experts, claims experts, all these people who are experts in dealing with these cases. And you're a teacher, you're a fireman, you're a, you know, a chiropractor.
Right.
You know,
we're not experts of that
stuff.
Experts
in that stuff. Hire an expert.
Right.
And, you know, it's not always the attorneys who advertise the most of the experts.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in the, there's a AV rating is how attorneys are rated, and it's a peer rating. So you want to look up their AV rating. And if they have a very high AV rating, that's the attorney you want to use. Very important information.
Yep. Yep. Again, why not have an expert on your case, you know, just to guide everything, coordinate everything, make sure you're getting, you know, protected, you're getting the care that you need and how, you know, and how all that works.
Well, in the last couple minutes here, let's talk about some of the research here. You know, chiropractic, in the research, I cite 5 research articles in the book here.
Mm-hmm.
Chiropractic blows everything away.
Yes.
Some funny background stories in some of these research articles that we don't have time for, but just give me one. This is one from Dr. Symptomatic Classification of Whiplash Injury and Implications for Treatment from Dr. Kahn, Cook, Gargan, and Bannister, and that's the Journal of Orthopedic Medicine. Group number one, 72% screened benefit from chiropractic care and 24% became asymptomatic. Group two, 94% resulted positively to chiropractic with 38% becoming asymptomatic. And group three, these are the worst injured patients, 27% improved following treatment with no patient becoming asymptomatic. All right, so they're saying that 94% of these people got better, but the research says only 40% of people with chronic pain,
mm-hmm.
and they get 94% better.
Right.
I mean, this is tremendous results.
Yes, absolutely.
Another study in 2003 by Giles and Muller in the journal Spine compared 3 treatment regimes, medication, acupuncture, spinal manipulation performed by chiropractors. All right, the highest proportion of early recovery was found for the chiropractic group, followed by acupuncture, and chiropractic group was 27% in this short study, 9% in acupuncture, 5% in medication group.
There we go. I tell you, hands down, chiropractic wins, so great to have a chiropractor on your healthcare team. So quickly, in 10 seconds, if someone would like to get a hold of this book, what's the best way they can do that?
Amazon. Amazon.com, after the car crash, Dr. Chris Quigley.
How simple is that?